The word synoptic means seen together. They look at Jesus as a man. Matthew, the key verse is Matthew 2:2. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Jesus was a man who was the King of the Jews. In Mark, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so that too speaks of his servanthood. And then the Gospel of Luke speaks of him as the perfect man. I believe it's Luke chapter 2, verses 41, 42 that says he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. John is unique in that John looks at him as the Son of God. The key verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But in the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus as a man tempted. Read, if you will, with me, or just listen. Verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and his baptism, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is written, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. I'd like for you to see five things tonight. Number one, realize that testing always follows a blessing. Jesus came and was baptized and began his ministry. You know, as long as you're going the devil's way, he doesn't bother you. But once you start out to serving God, you'll find out there's a devil. There is a devil. And in our lives, we will find times of temptation. In my ministry, my wife and I kind of jokingly look at each other when I was pastoring, and say, it's always something. I'll tell you what, the world, the flesh, and the devil never let up. And especially the devil, because he knows what's going to happen to him. Revelation says that when he is finally cast down, he will really go wild, because he knows his time is short. He's running out of time. He knows we're approaching the end of the age. I think anyone who has studied the Bible realizes we are approaching the end of the age. The things that we see going on, these are all telling us that Christ is coming again and coming soon. But in this portion of Scripture, I want you to realize that testing always follows a blessing. Always follows a blessing. When God blesses, the devil tests us and tempts us to sin. Now, God never tempts us to sin. God does test us. Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. in all points. Somebody says, no, Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, he does. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he was tempted in all points, like as we are. You may not, in the point, in the kind of temptation, Jesus faced them. It's interesting that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye might be able to bear it. Jesus was tempted in all points. The first Adam and his wife were tempted. And we know the account, how that Eve was tempted by the devil. Eve looked at that fruit. And of course we know the account, how the devil distorted things and lied and tricked her. And she was deceived, the Bible tells us, in the transgression. She was deceived by what the devil had done. He's a tempter. He deceives a lot of people. And he's deceiving a lot today. But in this lesson we see, when she saw it, there were three avenues of temptation. In 1 John we're told the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride. Those are the three avenues of temptation. The lust of the eye is the desire for things. The devil took Jesus up and showed him the kingdoms of all the world and all their wealth and all their possessions. He said, just worship me. I'll give them to you. He is the God, little g, of this world. He does have authority, but he's overstating it there. Because ultimately, everything belongs to God. And the devil is allowed, being allowed. But he is not being approved. And God is about to intervene in the whole mess. The lust of the eyes. Then it says, she saw that it was beautiful. It was, this particular fruit was just so luscious and beautiful, and she never seen anything like that. Boy, she'd like to have that take home. Secondly, she saw that it was good for food. It would satisfy her appetite. She was hungry. And she thought she would take it for food. And then thirdly, she said that, that it would make her wise. And she would be like God. She would be like God. And you know, that's the temptation. People today believe in evolution. And if you think about evolution, if evolution starts in chaos and is developing, and here they believe we have evolved, and we're still on that path to evolution, isn't the end perfection? They're saying that we're moving to perfection. Ye shall be, what? As gods. We're in the middle somewhere. We're just stepping stones in the process to them. But we know what? There is no such thing as evolution. In the beginning, that's the beginning of time, God created the heavens, the universe, and the earth. And that's how God created it. God made everything. But we remember, think of those three avenues of temptation when it applies here. It's the same three avenues that each one of us can be tempted with. The lust of the eye, the desire for things. Do you know that people will give their soul away for things? There are people that will bargain with whatever deity they believe in, that they can be rich and have everything. But Jesus said what? What did Jesus say? What does it profit a man? Well, he gained the whole world and lose his own soul. Or, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer is nothing and everything. By that I mean this. What good does it do if you're sitting on a pile of gold in a mansion with four or five vehicles and everything else and you own land and everything, and you die without Christ, you've lost everything. You know, somebody said the richest man in town died, and they asked the barber, somebody asked the barber, said, "Well, how much did the old man leave?" The man said very wisely, "Well, he left it all. You don't take it with you." There's no, you know, I don't want any money in my casket. I don't even want my Bible in the casket. It's too dark to read in there, probably. But I want somebody to use it, somebody to have it, and keep it and read it. But at any rate, I know people do things like that, and I'm not criticizing it. You know, it's because we know how much we love them and how much they love the Word of God. But I'd just rather not have anything in the casket but me and let it go at that. Although I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. But here, we see Jesus was tempted in those same three ways. Really. He says, the devil says, "You're hungry. It's been 40 days. Now, 40 days without food, you can go 40 days. After 40 days, you begin to go downhill pretty quickly. In the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, there was a young man named Tommy Sands. This would be 25 years ago. And he was arrested for his terrorism, placed in prison, but he went on a hunger strike. He wouldn't eat anything. He lived 55 days, but the last 2 weeks, he was too weak to move. They did continue to give him fluids. And I've, as a pastor, I hear when people said, I pastored for 39 years, when I heard people said, "Well, they're taking him or her off of liquids," I thought to myself, about 7 days, it'll be over. 7 days. And many times that was the case. You can go about 6 days without water. But you can go 55 days without food. Some of us maybe a little longer than that. We've got stored energy. But Jesus was hungered. He was starving. Do you know, I said to you, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. People say, you just don't know how hungry I am. There is somebody who knows. You don't know how much I'm tempted by these. Oh yes, there is one who knows. For he was tempted in all points. And the three avenues that I told you about, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He was shown the treasures of the world. And people will sell their souls for a lot less. How many pieces of silver was it? 30 pieces of silver? What do you think? You know that after Judas had betrayed him, he took the money back and threw it into the temple. It didn't mean anything to him. Then tragically, he was so remorseful, he went out and hung himself. Killed himself. Money doesn't matter. You're going to leave everything. Do with it what you can while you can. One member of our church a long time ago, about 25, 30 years ago, bless her heart, she was up in years, and she just had a gift of giving money. And somebody said something to her, and she says, "Well, money is like manure. It don't do no good till you pass it or move it or you know, spread it around." I don't know very many people feel that way. But here, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The devil just wanted them to satisfy the desires of their flesh. And then thirdly, to make you wise. You see, before that, man and woman did not have the knowledge of good and evil. They had been created righteously positive and given a choice. Now God warned them. They were given a probation, a test. That's the same reason the last Adam is given a test. Will he put food and experience above God's will? And he was given a probation. Truth of the matter is, all of us As I said before, we are all tempted. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 10:13, that a person is tempted in all. Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. Everybody here faces the same types of temptations. So did Jesus. And by God's grace, we can overcome those in our lives. I want you to notice this, that the testing comes through those three avenues even today. The desire for things, the lust to satisfy the flesh, and the experience, seeking an experience, something unique. The people sometimes are asked, why did they do that? Why did you do that? Oh, we just wanted to see what would happen. How dumb is that? But here, not only number one is testing and temptation common. Secondly, there is a devil. There is a devil. Sometimes when I used to interview people that came to the church, I'd say, do you believe in the devil? They said, oh no. Because they were thinking I meant like you do God. But I would change it to, do you believe that there is a devil? Oh yes, yes, I believe that. One time a church was interviewing a potential pastor, and they asked him all the doctrinal questions, but believe it or not, when they came down to that question, do you believe that there is a devil? He said, no. Everything else was perfect. But when it came down to believing that there was a devil, he said, no, I don't believe that. Well, after they dismissed him, they discussed whether they should ordain him or not. And they said, well, we can't ordain him. He can't be ordained to the gospel ministry and not believe that there's a devil. One old preacher stood up in the back and said, I say let's go ahead and ordain him because it won't be 1 week till he knows there's a devil. That's the way things work, isn't it? You know, people sometimes doubt their salvation. It's very common, in fact, amongst many Christians. But I read something the other day that really made a lot of sense. It said, realize that before you were saved, the devil never made you doubt whether you were saved. What it's trying to say is the very fact that he tries to make you doubt is good evidence that you are saved. Because remember those people that will come before Jesus one day? It says, many shall come before me in that day and shall say, Lord, Lord, did not we do many things in thy name? And you know what he'll say to them? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Yeah, you did work trying to save yourself. When, if we could save ourselves, Christ died for nothing. It's an insult to God. Here, there is a devil, and he does not let up. He is persistent. He will try to destroy your life, this church, this country. We need to pray for our leaders, because there is a battle going on. And we, by the grace of God, we saw prayer answered. One national religious leader has called for next Sunday to be a day of prayer for those in authority, to pray for those. And our country, our leaders need it. Whether you agree with Trump or not, that's between you and God. But you know what? I think that if Trump found the cure for cancer, the Democrats would criticize him, putting all those people out of work in the hospitals. It's just that, I mean, it's just so obvious. They hate what he stands for. They hate him. And you know what's sad to me is their hatred for him is greater than their love for America. They would rather see this country run into the ground than for him to get any credit for any good that he might do. Thirdly, I want you to notice this, that the holiest of people can be tempted. And in fact, it's the holiest people that the devil wants to attack. In Vietnam, we had what was called the point man. The point man is a guy that goes out about 20 paces in front of everybody else through the jungle. And his point, he is to watch and be on guard. It's just better to have the one out there than to have all of the unit there to be attacked. But he going out in the point, in the front, is oftentimes a target, the first one killed. The same thing is true that in our lives, that if you're trying to live for the Lord and witnessing for the Lord, you're going to be attacked. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know that you and I, whether we're aware of it or not, other people are watching us, other people are affected by us, both lost and saved. If we do something that's not right, I can guarantee you the devil will make sure some lost person sees you doing it. And if we do what's right, he hates us for it. Jesus said, if they have hated me, they'll hate you. And the devil hates you. The devil wants to destroy your Christian effectiveness. He can't damn your soul. That belongs to God, thank God. But he can destroy your effectiveness. Be on guard. Be sober. Be vigilant. The holiest of people can be tempted. Jesus was tempted. Remember this, 1 John 2:16, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Also, if we claim the name of Jesus, we should try to live like Jesus. You know, a few years ago, there was that popular little bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think that's a good idea. He's our model. Would Jesus talk like that? Would Jesus act like that? Would Jesus be involved in that? Hey, if Jesus wouldn't do it, why will you? As a young Christian, I invited to go to a basketball game one time, given tickets. And I went there, and people drinking, people cursing. I said, I need to get out of here. I'd rather watch it on TV. At least I can ignore the beer commercials. And I don't have to put up with all this. You know what? If you're saved, you just don't feel comfortable. If you do feel comfortable, you better check things out. There's something the matter. I used to preach in the jail. Everybody in jail is saved. That's what they say. I say to them, if you're in jail, what are you in jail? Theft. But go down the line. Now, some of those poor souls, they lost their registration card for the car or no insurance. But there are some of those people that are just bad. But you know what? They all are saved. That's what they'll tell you. And I would say to them, friend, I'm not God. I'm not your judge. But if you're back here for doing something wrong, you need to check things out. There's something the matter. Get your spiritual birth certificate out. The Bible says, make your election and calling sure. Because people are deceived, aren't they? Jesus said, many shall come before me in that day. Say, Lord, he shall say, depart. I never knew you. Then notice this. We're to resist the devil. Is it possible to resist the devil? We have three enemies. What are they? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The victory over the world is given to us in 1 John, where it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. So we can, but what is that victory? Our faith. Our faith. not only what we believe, but how we act, our faithfulness. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, I believe, in the context of prayer, being faithful Christians. But can we overcome the world? Yes, thank God. God's given us the means. What about the devil? Well, you resist the devil and what? Well, look at verse 13 again. After Jesus had resisted him, it says, and when the devil had ended his temptations, he ended the temptations in that the same three that caused Adam to fall, thank God the Lord Jesus was victorious over the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It says what? He departed from him. He departed from him. If the Bible says if we resist the devil, what is the promise? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee. But you know the hardest one of all the three of our enemies? You are your worst enemy. Do you know ever since the Garden of Eden, what we do is we blame somebody else for why we are the way we are. I am the way you are because you're the way you are. Remember, Adam, what hast thou done? He says, the woman you gave me to eat. He says to her, what did you do? She said, the serpent tempted me, and I did eat. So I said, when it came down to the serpent couldn't say anything because he had no legs to stand on. He didn't. People today blame everything wrong in their life on somebody else. And let me tell you, you ever hear people say, the devil made me do it? Let me tell you, the devil can't make you do anything that you don't agree to. You can resist the devil. There's two requirements for resisting the devil. Notice in verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was as much a man as if he was not God. And he was as much God as if he was not man. As a man, he allowed himself to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to control him in his words, thoughts, and deeds. In fact, also he allowed the Father. It said, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. I obey the Father. My meat is to obey him that sent me. That's my desire. But here we see that we need to remember we resist the devil, how? Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues and rolling around and being slain in the Spirit and all these things. Being filled with the Spirit is being emptied of yourself. You know, if you have a bucket of water, and that water is to the brim, in fact, maybe going over the edge a little bit, but then you put a brick in there, you put some glass, you put some other things in there. Is that bucket, even though it appears to be to the rim, is it full of water? It's a full of a lot of other things and water. Do you know that's the way it is with us? My mother used to, my mother would give me, I believe it or not, a nickel. For when I came home from school, I could stop and get some candy. Back then, for a nickel, you could get some candy. Sometimes I would eat all that candy on the way home. Mom's been making supper, and she'll say, Terry, it's time for us to eat. And I'll say, well, I'm not hungry. My mother will say, have you been eating junk? Have you been eating candy? Or, you know, we can't be filled with the Holy Ghost if we're too full of other things. Especially yourself. We're not to think of ourselves. We're to be like Christ who, as the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, being God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You and I need to resist him. Resist the devil by how? Being full of the Holy Spirit. And the second is with the Word of God. On each of those three temptations, what did Jesus do? It is written. It is written. It is said. He quoted the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful. And to claim the promises of the Word of God gives you victory in resisting the devil, if you'll take it. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. Ephesians 6. Resist the devil. Rely on the Holy Spirit. May God give us. You know, Baptists for a long time don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit because of things we see in some circles. But folks, without the Holy Spirit of God, we can do nothing. Do you know that your Christian life began as you were born of the Spirit? God brings us in. God brings us up. It is the Spirit of God that teaches us and guides us in all paths of righteousness. We have dwelling in us one who convicts us of three things: sin, what's wrong; righteousness, what's right; and thirdly, judgment. And judgment. Shall we face judgment? Well, we face the judgment seat of Christ. Our sins won't be judged, but our service will be. Rely on the Holy Spirit of God and prayer and the Word of God. And then lastly, I would say this to you all. Be ready. What do you mean? Well, look at verse 13. Read it with me, please. Verse 13. Read it out loud. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. The devil doesn't give up. Don't get so foolish you think, well, I can't be tempted. I'm a Christian and I prayed through and I'm whole. You know, one woman told a preacher, said, Don't say we're saved sinners. I don't sin. The preacher said, you must be pretty proud of that. She said, yes, I am. He said, that's a sin. I want to tell you what, we'd all better humble up. Listen to this. There hath no temptation taken anyone that you could not, there's no sin that anyone else has ever committed that you could not commit, given the right opportunity and temptation. Don't you get so high on your horse because you're going to get knocked down. God, listen, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble up. Serve God. Realize temptations are coming all the time from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we can be overcomers by the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, who guides us into what is right and what is wrong, and tells us that we're going to be judged for our service. And then Jesus resisted by the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So that we can resist temptation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the example of Christ. I thank you for victory over temptation if we will take it. That you have made a way to escape that we might be able to bear it. It's our choice. God, help us to make the right choice and desire to do the right thing. And to follow thee and to resist the devil and to use the Word of God as our weapon, the weapon you gave us. Lord, give us victory in our lives. Help us not to be victims, but to be victors. I pray in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, no one looking around. Maybe I don't know you. Maybe there's one here that's not saved. I believe everyone here is saved. But if the devil's making you doubt your salvation, remember this. He didn't make you doubt your salvation until you got saved. And he wants to make you doubt because you'll become ineffective. Secondly, there's two kinds of Christians here. Either ones that are victorious or those that are victims. I'm sad to say many Christians, the devil leads them around with a ring in their nose. And they follow him. But sadly, they follow him to a sad end. May God help us tonight. Let's all stand to our feet and let's sing. Let's sing tonight, "Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me." If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come tonight?